Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Yeah!
Welcome to a Friday edition of Drive Time Sports, right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini, alongside Travis Anderson, who is back in the studio. Always happy to be with you on the afternoon drive, and we're going to talk local and national sports today. But the big story broke about 3 hours ago. Now, there was talk of a conversation to be had with Kawhi Leonard and the San Antonio Spurs. Of course, we're talking NBA basketball. Kawhi Leonard, who did not play but, what, nine games last year? Is that what it was for the Spurs? I mean, he hardly played at all. Even though he was cleared by the doctors, did not want to play. He's kind of backed San Antonio into the corner. They can offer him a supermax contract. Sources have told ESPN and Adrian Wojnarowski that he wants out of San Antonio and would prefer to be traded to the Los Angeles Lakers. Your initial thoughts upon seeing this story break just a couple of hours ago?
We've heard grumblings that he wanted out during the season, that he wasn't happy with the way San Antonio's handled his situation with his injury, and we always knew that Los Angeles was one of the destinations that he had on his list, so not surprised that he came out and said this today.
I'm not surprised, but I think when you hear it when Adrian Wojnarowski reports something,
it's serious.
You know it. Yes, you know it's going to be legit. Now, the ball is in San Antonio's court. Do you move him within the Western Conference? And we are going to have a conversation about this a little bit later on in the show. I think it's relatively simple. Okay, if you're talking about trading your superstar, I don't think you ever get full value for them. I know the trade with Indiana and Oklahoma City, I know that worked out okay for the Pacers, right? Because Victor Oladipo looked really good, and they went to the playoffs this year, and I don't think anyone expected that. But at the end of the day, they did not get full value for Paul George. I don't care what anyone tells me. You never get full value for a superstar. Remember, we had Peter Vesey on the show around this time last year, and I asked him that question, and he said it stumped him. He'd have to do his homework to go back and look to see if anyone has ever gotten full value for a superstar. You don't get full value. What San Antonio will have to do in this situation is trade Kawhi Leonard for the best prize package. Okay, and if you were the Los Angeles Lakers, I don't think you play the waiting game anymore. You know, last year we were talking about Paul George to the Lakers because he flat out told Indiana, I want to play for the Lakers. And there was the talk of, well, why would the Lakers give up a huge package when Paul George is going to be a free agent and they can just acquire him without giving anything up? This is different because Kawhi Leonard's under contract for 2 years, not just one. And on top of that, you have the financial means, if you can put together a package, to find someone to take Luol Deng and all the young assets you have, to acquire Kawhi Leonard, sign LeBron James, and even make a play for Paul George still. This is what makes this situation so interesting. The Lakers are in the best spot that they have been in for quite some time, but you have teams in the Eastern Conference. I'm going to go ahead and throw Cleveland out there. They'd have to do a lot of maneuvering, and I'm not saying that the Cavaliers are going to be a front runner for Kawhi Leonard. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is you have teams like Cleveland who are trying to make an impression on LeBron. You have the Celtics who have more assets than they know what to do with, okay? And they also have an expiring contract in Kyrie Irving. I'm also going to talk about the Philadelphia 76ers, again, a team that has numerous assets. You have teams that can afford to give things up to bring in a player like Kawhi, knowing that he's under contract for 2 years. This is a very interesting story. I think it's a more interesting situation than any other jingle or whatever you want to talk about in the NBA right now. This right here is unprecedented. We haven't seen it, and plus someone wants out of San Antonio since when? That's what makes it so interesting.
Yeah, San Antonio's going to have to move him because you don't want this thing going into this season all the cloud, the question marks of what's Kawhi's situation. It's just a headache for San Antonio, so they're going to have to get the best package, like you said, and you're never going to get full value back because Kawhi Leonard's a top five player in the league and probably the best two-way player in the league.
We're a week away from the NBA draft. Next Thursday, I believe, is when the NBA draft is, so less than a week away. I think there's a chance that Kawhi Leonard, I think his days are down to six in San Antonio. I think it's possible because the Spurs are going to want to get the best package that they can possibly get. We'll talk more about this situation a little bit later on in the show. We're also going to talk some rodeo for our local sports segment. We're going to jump all over the place. Coming up on July 6th, Extreme Bull Riding at the Carbon County Fairgrounds Event Center. There's going to be a couple of local names that you will recognize, including Adi Allred, who will be in action. And so we are going to talk to Monroe Magnuson, one of the best PA announcers in the game for rodeo. He's going to join us next segment on the show. Outside of that, let's take a look and see what else is happening in the national sports scene. And outside of the Kawhi Leonard story, there's really not a whole lot else going on outside of NBA draft eligibility. Now, by 2021, the NBA could get rid of the one-and-done rule, meaning that players could once again jump right from the NBA out of high school. Your initial thoughts?
This rule probably should have been tinkered with a long time ago, so no one's ever going to be happy with the situation, so I guess they're trying to appease, the NCAA and the NBA at the same time? I don't know. No one's ever going to be happy, though, with the rule.
Here's the problem the first go-around. You had, I think, one draft there was over 50 high school kids that declared for the NBA draft. Yeah. Now, obviously, all 50 of those kids are not going to get drafted. Now, once you declare for the draft and you sign an agent, you're done. You can't go back and play college basketball. I think it will improve the college game. I hate the one-and-done.
They kids. Should be have to stay 2 years at
They
max.
Should. They should, because you only have to be academically eligible for one semester, if I'm not mistaken, in the college game. So, for me, get rid of it, because you can't force a kid to stay in college for 2 years, right? You can't do that. So get rid of the one-and-done rule. Make it right out of high school. I'm fine with it. 2022 makes the most sense because as it sits right now, every NBA team owns their own draft pick in 2022. That's not the case for 2021. And when you make changes or alterations to the draft, you have to consider that. I think 2022 actually looks like the right time to do it, giving every team the heads up. 2022, guess what? All 30 of you owners own your draft pick for this draft. Something to consider. High school kids are going to be eligible to come into the league in 2022. So that was the news story that circulated earlier today. Let's take a look at the Major League Baseball scoreboard. And we got a full slate of games. It's going to take place pretty much all night long. We'll begin at the 5 o'clock hour. We get the Marlins and the Orioles. The Rays will travel to take on the Yankees. We get the Reds and the Pirates. The Nationals will take on the Blue Jays, the Twins on the road to take on the Indians, the Braves play host to the San Diego Padres, we get the Rockies and the Rangers in the 6 o'clock hour, along with the Tigers and the White Sox, the Brewers will play host to the Phillies, the Royals and the Astros, the Cubs at the Cardinals. 7 o'clock hour is busy as well, we get the Angels and the A's, and the Diamondbacks will host the Mets. 8 o'clock hour, Boston at Seattle, and a big one in the National League West at 8:10 tonight, the Giants and the Dodgers. It's a quick look at what's happening in the National sports front. We're going to give you the local sports recap in just a moment. And again, we'll talk more NBA basketball, plus we'll talk some rodeo as we gear up for Warrior Days here locally. It's coming your way on a Friday edition of Drive Time Sports. You're on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750, the play-by-play home of the USU Eastern Eagles.
We're back on Drive Time Sports on a local sports segment today. Let's talk about an upcoming event, Extreme Bull Riding, which is coming to the Carbon County Fairgrounds Event Center in July. Now, what makes this so interesting, Adi Allred, who is a popular name around here, remember Adi at Emory High School, standout athlete. Now he's making a name for himself in the bull riding world. We're going to talk about that and more right now with our next guest. He is the PA announcer for most local rodeo around here. One of the best PA announcers you will find in the world of rodeo. He's won several awards. And now he's joining us on the show today to talk about the event coming up in July. We have Monroe Magnuson. Monroe, a pleasure as always. Thank you.
Glad to be here. And thanks, Jordan.
Monroe, we'll dive right into it. Coming up on July 6th, the Diamond Age Productions is going to present Bull Riding Extreme at the Carbon County Event Center. Now, this, of course, will tie in with Warrior Days, which is going to be a pretty big event here in the Castle Country. It's basically a whole week of stuff for people here to take, to enjoy.
You're right. You know, they contacted me early this spring and asked if I was interested in doing the bull riding event. They started telling me everything that was going on, and I thought, heck yes, I'm ready for this. It's going to be a great event all week long.
Well, let's talk about extreme bull riding, and of course, that's the field that I'm going to go ahead and say you're most comfortable in, right? I mean, you've won several awards for this. I mean, you're one of the best PA announcers around when it comes to rodeo.
Well, thanks. Say, you know, bull riding, well, you have rodeo and you have bull riding and rodeo. But if you're not familiar with bull riding, what it is they've taken the bull riding event. As like in a rodeo, you'll usually have a section of 10, maybe 20 bull riders. Well, we've taken that out of rodeo and put it in its own standalone event for, I guess, a night of extreme action, rock and roll, hyped up, you know, a good show all the way around. I think that we're planning on 25 to 30 bull riders on the night of the 6th at the fairgrounds. Gates will open at 6 o'clock, bull riding will start at 7. And something else that the committee has added to it is mini bull riding as well. And that's always entertaining.
Well, let's take it from the top. I got to ask you, I know you've been around for so long when it comes to rodeos, and you've always told me that a rodeo anymore is almost like a rock concert. It's like an event in itself. When you talk bull riding, does it fit to kind of be pulled away from other rodeo events? I mean, do you have a little bit more freedom to really turn it into a rock concert or a rock show? Because that's kind of the vibe I always get when I go watch bull riding, when it's a part of a full-on rodeo.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's interesting. Tradition would tell you that bull riding is the most dangerous event in rodeo, and it's really not when you look at those statistics. But for some reason, there's something out there that with bull riding that just grabs the fan and pulls them into the arena. And you know, and especially when you get the music, the fast pumping, the hard rock, well, not hard rock, but fast pumping, I guess, high emotion music going, you know, and the noise and everything, I guess it just makes for a great show. Yeah, you know, we're going to add to it, of course. You're going to see a little pyro in the opening. I'm working with Commissioner Miller. We're going to pull in a patriotic opening on the deal that'll just pull at your heartstrings. You know, so we're going to add to it. The whole deal, I mean, it's going to be a night to remember and a family-friendly night to remember. That's probably one of the most important things right there.
Well, let me ask you about bull riding. When you talk about the casual fans that really seem to gravitate towards this event, could it have something to do with the simplicity of it? I mean, you got to ride this thing for 8 seconds. I mean, it's that simple. You got to stay on the bull for 8 seconds.
Right. You know, when you get right down to it, it's man against beast. I mean, we've been man against beast for what, 10,000 years?
Yeah.
So I guess this brings it right into the arena in a humane sort of way. And then you talk about the brute force that it takes on both the bull athlete and the cowboy, you know, to ride that 8 seconds. And then maybe you might want to put a little mental in there. I mean, it takes some physics. It takes to know, you need to know the bull rider. You know, okay, what's the centrifugal force as the bull comes around? How am I going to keep in the middle? You know, that kind of thing. So I think probably to the average fan, you know, all of that, you can relate to that. You know what it's like to be in, you know, in a bad situation, you know, whatever the case might be, and you can bring that into that arena through bull riding.
I don't want to get too far off of the path here, but I mean, we've been talking a lot about horse racing on the show over the last little while because of Justify winning the Triple Crown. Completely different sports. In that, you know, in that realm, we're talking about a man and an animal teaming up, and this one, it's a man against an animal, which I guess, I mean, that's on the opposite end of the spectrum.
Right, correct. And what's interesting, you know, we talked. You were saying that we had talked about the racehorse deal. Well, people understand how many generations of pedigree it takes in a horse to win the Triple Crown.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on the bull side of things, in bull riding, did you know that the pedigrees are stacked just exactly like in the horse racing industry and any other, is it the cutting horse industry, whatever. A lot of these bulls have pedigrees that go on for generations of championship bucking bulls.
I did not know that, Monroe. It's very interesting, and I guess that takes me into my next question. If we're talking about the pedigree of these bulls and Diamond Age Productions, I know they have such a great reputation. I guess that has to be because of the stock that they provide, right?
Oh, yeah. That's because of the stock. And, you know, Wayne Hebden, he takes pride in both his bucking bulls and bucking horses. And he's got one of the best pens around, as far as either amateur or professional rodeo. You know, so and these cowboys, they like to follow that because they know they can get a high score on them bulls if they can stick them out for 8 minutes or 8 seconds. That's the key.
Let's talk about the mini bulls and what we can expect from this event. I've never seen something like this. So I'm going to let you go ahead and describe what I'll be seeing with the mini bulls.
All right. It's basically the same thing as in the big bulls, only your mini bulls, the bucking bulls, they are just that. They're minis. And the cowboys that are going to be getting on them, they're anywhere from 4 to, I think 13 is the high, is the oldest on the mini bulls. And it's funny to watch these guys. You know, they walk in there, you may see them as a little 8, 13-year-old boy, but I'll tell you what, when they turn around and look in the mirror and they cinch up their jeans every morning, they see a big boy. It's pretty cool to see that attitude in them little guys.
Yeah, it definitely is. And look, we're so familiar with the sports of basketball, football, baseball. Those kids grow up idolizing, you know, some of their favorite players, the ones that we see every day. These kids that are getting into bull riding, it's the same thing, except it's just bull riding. They have their guys that they look up to. That's what's always interested me about the young kids in rodeo.
That's right. And, you know, while we're on that topic, of course the entries aren't open. I don't think the book's open for the bull riding until the 26th of June. But we do have a few commitments from some of the cowboys that are going to be there. And I got to tell you about it. There's three local guys that people need to show up and watch. One of them is Cash Mosman. And I'd say why you got to watch him. He's on a roll. In fact, he's been doing so well that he's been invited to participate in a few of the professional bull riders events nationally, the ones that are televised. You know, he's committed to be there. There's Dalton Rudman. You may remember him from probably 5 years ago. He ended up being the Utah High School Rodeo Champion. He's been there in Price. He's committed that he's going to be there. And I haven't talked to Dalton in a while, but I've been seeing on Facebook, he's been making some pretty good money at some bull rides and the professional rodeos. And then, of course, Audie Allred. I mean, we know Audie from a couple years ago, State High School Rodeo Champion. He was in the running for the Rocky Mountain Pro Rodeo Champion. Right now, he's been rodeoing for the Southwest region down in Odessa, Texas. And he's at the college national finals right now this week in Gillette, Wyoming, I believe is where it's at. And he's still got a chance of winning the deal. So we could be seeing a world champion.
I'm glad you brought up Audie Allred, because that's an individual that we've talked about and we've talked to here on the show. I mean, this kid's got a very bright future in the sport.
Oh, he does have a bright future, and, you know, he's got his head on right. He comes from a great family, in my opinion. They believe in excellence, and they believe in, you know, they are well-rounded. It's a well-rounded family, and, they like rodeo, they like bull riding, but they also understand there's the rest of the world out there that they need to take care of as well. You know, he's going to be fun to watch for the next 10 years anyway. And I think one day we're going to see him in Las Vegas at either the PBR World Finals or the Professional Rodeo Cowboys National Finals Rodeo.
It's amazing. He was a natural athlete in multiple other sports as well. I mean, the kid's just an athlete all the way around. If it's basketball, if it's football, baseball, whatever it is we're talking about, Audie was great at multiple sports, and now he's making a name for himself in bull riding. It's very neat to see. Monroe, before I let you go, I want you to go ahead and go over all the logistics for the extreme bull riding that we have coming here to the Carbon County Event Center again on July 6th.
All right, July 6th. The show starts at 7 o'clock. Gates open at 6 o'clock. You can buy your tickets at the gate, or you can buy the tickets online right now. Adult tickets are $10. Child tickets are $7. CastleCountryEvents.com is where you can go buy your tickets. Now, they're all lower bowl tickets. In other words, if you're familiar with the fairgrounds, you think of the Great Big Huge Bleachers. Well, we're going to cut the arena down so it'll be smaller, and you'll be sitting on the arena floor, I mean, right eye level with the bulls. You know, so that's pretty cool. It'll be a more intimate atmosphere. I'm not 100% sure of the details on this, but a 3-day Disneyland trip for four is being given away to a lucky concert or ticket or bull riding ticket buyer. And if you get your tickets by June 15th, you'll receive 5 chances at that. After the 16th, you'll only receive one chance per ticket. So you might want to get on right tonight. What, the 15th tomorrow, I think? You want to get on right tonight or today and get your ticket spot. You can buy a bundle package while you're there. And if you're interested in motocross or bull riding and the Derek Dora Worley concert, you can get a ticket for $28, again, lower bowl. You know, so that's that's kind of the details right there. We want to get into what I think Scamp Excavating for sponsoring the bull riding and the mini bull. It's going to be great.
Looking forward to it, Monroe. Thank you so much for the time today, and I know we'll talk again real soon.
All right. Sounds great. Thank you, Jordan.
Again, that's Monroe Magnuson taking out the time to join us to talk about the July 6th event, and of course, tickets are on sale right now. We've got a break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up. When we return, we'll move over to the national side, talk some NBA basketball. Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. And the 3A All-State baseball teams have been announced, and both Carbon and Emory have representatives. First off, we'll begin with the Spartans. Easton Gordon, a senior who pitched and played shortstop throughout the year, earned a first-team selection after batting .437 throughout the year while accumulating a 1.3 ERA and striking out 44 batters over the course of his senior campaign. Gordon was a staple for the Emory Spartan baseball team as they advanced to the state championship tournament, finishing 1-2. Now, for Carbon High School, they had three representatives, two on the first team. Senior Cody Lowe, who was in the running for MVP, was a no-brainer first-team selection. The senior batted .510. He accumulated 18 doubles, 6 triples, 40 RBIs, and finished 7-1 on the mound. Lowe pitched and played outfield for Carbon throughout the year. He's joined on the first team by teammate Ty Anderson, who batted .380 and accumulated 17 walks and also had 22 RBIs on the year. He also scored 42 runs from the shortstop position. Anderson was known as one of the best defensive shortstops in the 3A classification. And Carbon High School senior Cesar Leia received an honorable mention for his play at second base. In his only year with the team, the foreign exchange student was a staple for the Carbon defense and also was a threat on the base paths throughout the year. Congratulations to those from the Castle Country who received an All-State mention. We continue with high school baseball, and tomorrow the 3A All-Star Game will take place at Swenson Park in Spanish Fork at 11 a.m. The entire 3A classification has been divided into two teams. One will be coached by Carbon baseball manager Jeff Cincinnatus, the other by Aaron Perkins of the state champion Grantsville Cowboys. Each team will be made up of 18 outgoing seniors. And for Carbon High School, Cody Lowe, Zach Bradley, and Nate Olson have all been selected to the All-Star team. And they'll team up with two members from Emory High School, Easton Gordon and Colton Wilson. Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We will bring you the results from the All-Star game as it becomes available on Monday. We stick with baseball, but now we move to the American Legion ranks. And tonight, the Helper Merchants will return home as they play host to Dixie beginning at 7:30 p.m. It is the first home game at the Helper American Legion Park this season for the Merchants. The season has been a highly successful one up to this point in time. Following tonight's contest, the team will return to the field on June 19th for doubleheader action as they take on St. George and Dixie in Richfield. The next home game will take place next Friday against Salem Hills. Now, while Helper is in action tonight, Price will return to the baseball diamond tomorrow. They will take on Dixie and also Salem Hills on the road. These road games will take place in Salem Hills. Start time for the first game for Price will be at 3 p.m. again against Dixie. The second game will follow immediately after against Salem Hills. And finally, do not miss out on the free archery clinic that is taking place tomorrow at Gordon Creek Wildlife Management's area near Price. This is a free archery clinic for those enthusiasts of all skill levels. There will be hands-on tutorials, equipment, and targets for beginners all the way up to the intermediate levels. It is open to anyone, but it is asked that you register beforehand. In order to do that, visit CastleCountryRadio.com for more information. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
Yeah, what's up? This is Metal Royal Peace, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Back on this Friday edition of Drive Time Sports here on KOAL, 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. We are going to talk NBA basketball and bring in a longtime guest and a longtime friend of the show, Jabari Davis, who is with SilverScreenEnroll.com, and we're going to talk Kawhi Leonard. Jabari, it's been far too long since we've gotten you on the show, but I appreciate the time today. Thank you so much.
Absolutely, my pleasure. You already know, Jordan. Thanks again for having me.
Absolutely. Love having the conversations. We've been doing this now for about 7 years, believe it or not, and it seems like for the majority of those 7 years, the team that you focus on most, the Los Angeles Lakers, have kind of been down in the dumps, and I knew that this was just a matter of time, Jabari, before things turned around for this franchise. There's too much allure, there's too much history, and there's too much marketing in Los Angeles. Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka have turned things around, and then the news breaks today that Kawhi Leonard wants out of San Antonio, which I think we all could have anticipated, but at the same time, sources are telling Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN that Los Angeles, preferably the Lakers, are at the very top of his list. And I knew that, you know, there was rumors, and typically where there's smoke, there's fire, but at the same time, it seems like when you get it from Wojnarowski, it's official. Kawhi wants to be a Laker.
Yeah, exactly, and like you said, there have been rumors, there's been talk, you know, around the league, you know, for the better part of a season, but you know, once this came out, it kind of became a reality. And I'm not saying he's, you know, it's not a done deal or anything like that, but a reality in the sense of, even if you're the Spurs, even if you have zero desire, you know, you're diametrically opposed to helping the Lakers out, Kawhi has backed you into a corner. He absolutely has. You know, at this stage, you know, but, you know, and obviously this isn't leaked by the Spurs. This is, in all likelihood, you know, leaked by Kawhi's people, or his agency, or whomever. You know, somebody in his camp. You know, you're at a point where another team, why would they give you like a good package if they know that not only does he want out, so they're against the wall in that, but he's already specified where he wants to go.
Yeah, it's a really interesting conversation to have, because we've heard of things like this before. Paul George put the Indiana Pacers in a corner this past summer, and he said he wanted to go to L.A. Now the Pacers, they didn't bite on that. They sent him to Oklahoma City. The Thunder, Sam Presti, knew that there was a great risk in playing, you know, rent a forward for a single season, and I think that's what they've done with Paul George, because I think he has done in Oklahoma City. But I understand why Sam Presti took that risk. He has Russell Westbrook. You go out, you get Carmelo Anthony. They went all in. The Spurs, look, we have flipped the page from that dominating two decades, you know, stance that they had at this particular time. And again, I could be wrong. If I'm San Antonio, I'm trying to get a deal done on draft night. I want to move on from this particular era right now. Start rebuilding immediately, because Kawhi's not in your long-term plans anymore. Make a deal on draft night. That's the way I look at it.
I think if a deal does get done, it happens before the season. And if it happens before the season, it would make the most sense to make it happen on draft night, so that you can get in the mix, you know, with that, depending upon the package that, you know, that you receive. And, you know, you mentioned the Paul George situation. I think that situation actually makes it more likely that they'll take the, you know, whatever the best deal is possible. Because if you're San Antonio, if you're another team, you know, given the fact that Paul George is realistically probably going to be just a rent, you know, rent-a-player, you know, for OKC this year, and is probably moving on. You know, we may be having another conversation on this in about a month or so. Possibly even to the Lakers. You know, if you're San Antonio, and or if you're the other teams out there, you got to go ahead and make this deal happen, and you got to go ahead and make it happen. Like, you know, like I said, I'm in total agreement. It's got to happen. You know, by the draft. Like I said, specifically so that you can get involved in some of these young players.
Okay. Let's talk about another team outside of Los Angeles, because we have several teams that are really, really close. I mean, Boston, for instance, they have assets galore. And if you do make a trade right now with San Antonio, you are probably renting Kawhi, because he's already said, according to the report by Wojnarowski, he doesn't care about the Supermax. That incentive is put in for teams to keep players, and Kawhi does not care about that in San Antonio. So if you're a team like Boston and you have a plethora of assets, do you throw them all right now with San Antonio, and do you go all in knowing that Kyrie probably is not going to sign an extension? You have Gordon Hayward coming back. You know you are a game away, a half away, not even a half a quarter away from getting to the NBA Finals without your two superstars. If you're Danny Ainge, do you try to trump anything that LA can throw at San Antonio?
If I'm Danny Ainge, I do. But then again, it's easy for me to say that from the outside looking in. You know, I'm not worried about my job security. I'm not worried about potentially blowing the farm on, you know, and you know, swinging and missing. So I have no concerns over that. So it's, like I said, it's easy for me to say. But honestly, if I'm Danny Ainge, you accumulated all of those assets, not just obviously to put, you know, to put a good a solid team out there, but also to put yourself in this position. You know, he's got, you know, the draft picks galore, you know, a ton of really exciting young players. There's, you know, look, you could, you know, there's a line of thought that says you want to bring everybody back and see what they at least look like with Kyrie and with Gordon Hayward. But if you have a player with the ability of Kawhi Leonard out there, I'm sorry, you go out and you get him. You know, that's my mentality now. If he's out there to be gotten, go get him.
Well, in today's NBA world, when we're talking about a max contract lengthwise being 5 years and with player options and the player movement that we see in today's world, it's so hard, Jabari, to prep for the future anymore. I mean, listen, we're in the Utah market. We know exactly, Jazz fans know exactly what I'm talking about here. It's nearly impossible. And so when you have a superstar like Kawhi who is available, I say you go out and get him. Look, if I'm the Lakers, if I'm Rob Pelinka, if I'm Magic Johnson, you can have all 13 players on my roster if you want for Kawhi Leonard right now.
Yeah, I mean, if you're, see, the Lakers themselves are in a slightly different position. You know, the Lakers are on the ascent. The Celtics are already there. And like you mentioned, they were a quarter away or a quarter and a half away from actually being in the finals well in advance, you know, well before any of us probably would have considered, especially given the injuries that they had this year. So if you're the Celtics, like I said, you go for it. If you're the Lakers, I would understand either side of it. I would understand not wanting to give up the entire, you know, the entire assortment of young players that you have, but then again, you know, if you're Magic and Pelinka, you didn't sign on to just be competitive. You signed on to go for it. You signed on to bring in the top talent. Now, it would be wonderful to see these young guys develop and see what they could, you know, see what they could actually work themselves into, especially if you can, you know, retool the roster with other established talent. But if it's out like in. At the end of the day, if you have a top five talent out there, which Kawhi Leonard absolutely is, you know, the last we saw, and by all accounts, if he says he's almost 100%, if you've got it, if he's out there on the board, you do what it takes and you go get the job done.
I didn't want to move this far away off of the path, but I'll get abstract with you for a second. You talked about seeing this young core in L.A. grow together and build into something. And again, I can relate this to the Utah market. I think we can relate this to all 30 teams in the NBA. Outside of Golden State, who even, you know, Golden State, for the most part, before Kevin Durant came, look, that first championship that they won, they built that team through the draft. They built that through savviness in the front office led by Jerry West. Outside of Golden State, when is the last time that a homegrown team won an NBA championship? Can you think of one?
I mean, I would consider San Antonio, their last time, what was that, 2014? I would consider that a homegrown situation. I know they made the deal for, you know, for Kawhi, but he developed in that system.
Sure, he was a rookie. He never played for anyone else.
But you make an excellent point. Outside of like those, you know, outliers, it really doesn't happen like that. So yeah, again, it sounds nice, and it definitely feels good if you're a Lakers fan. Like all of a sudden, hey, look, we've got some young and exciting players out there. But you know what would feel even nicer? Being in the finals next year.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like I said, when the top guys are available, if there's any chance whatsoever, you do it.
Again, we're being joined right now by Jabari Davis of the Silver Screen and Rolls. We talk Kawhi Leonard. Jabari, this doesn't particularly, I guess, immediately relate to Kawhi Leonard, but I think that it is a relevant conversation to have connecting the dots here. Okay, Kawhi says the Supermax, or at least the source says he doesn't care about the Supermax deal. Doesn't matter to him. There's stories circulating that Klay Thompson would be willing to take a $50 million pay cut to remain in Golden State. This is the problem that I think the NBA is running into, and I've mentioned this on the show several times. The salary cap is put in for competitive balance to make sure players are getting what they deserve in the grand scheme of the entire league. Players are finding out that you can easily recoup the money you're going to lose on your base salary with marketing and endorsements in certain markets. Is this a problem for the league?
It's a problem in the sense of, you know, this angle isn't going to work. Because, like, for the longest time, you know, we were all, and, you know, you, myself, and, you know, other pundits, we've been saying, like, well, no way someone's going to leave $80 million on the table. No way someone's going to gamble with that. Well, we were wrong. And you know what? You know why? We don't know what it's like to already have $150 million in the bank. And especially, you know, if you're Chris Paul and you're 32, 33, 34, whatever, getting up there, you have to get your money right now. Because this is realistically, you're probably going to be your last opportunity for a, you know, for a max type or a max deal. If you're Kawhi Leonard or some of these guys that are 24, 25, 26, you know, like in their early to mid or even late 20s, you can bank on yourself and say, you know what, I can get through these next 4 years, or one or two or three or 4 years, and I can turn around and get one last one at the age of 31 or 32. So for, you know, from the league's perspective, yeah, that might be a problem, because if they were banking on this keeping people in small markets or in markets that they, you know, that they would prefer to have, you know, to kind of spread the talent out, I don't know that that's going to work anymore.
Jabari, I know you're in LA, you cover the Lakers, you follow them extremely close, and so LeBron James is a name that is extremely popular right now and extremely hot, rightfully so. How much of the LeBron situation is tied into the current Kawhi situation in San Antonio? Can we connect the dots between the two stories?
I think they certainly appear to go hand in hand. And now, look, the phrase you just used, connecting the dots, that, you know, there's going to be some of that taking place. You know, we can speculate, we can say, like, oh, well, you know, this looks like this, so it probably must be that. I guess over the next week or two, we're gonna find out. Because, you know, like we kind of touched off on at the top, I think if Kawhi's moved, it's going to happen pretty quickly. I think if you're the Spurs, you absolutely have to get you have to be circling the wagons and looking for what the best deal may possibly be. And if you're the Spurs, again, given the fact that you have a great scouting department, a great, you know, player development department, and obviously a system that has been successful over, like you mentioned, the last, you know, two, three decades or whatever the case may be, you're going to want a combination of, you know, talent, established talent, but you also want to get into the draft. So I think if Kawhi has moved prior to the draft, I think it definitely, you know, I think we can definitely connect those dots.
Is R.C. Buford treading down the same water? And for those who don't know, R.C. Buford, the general manager of the San Antonio Spurs, is he treading down the same water of a Mitch Kupchak, what, 6-7 years ago? I mean, it was like we couldn't imagine a caliber player like Dwight Howard leaving Los Angeles to go play for the Houston Rockets. Okay, now in two seasons, there's been talk of LaMarcus Aldridge not happy in San Antonio, not wanting to be a San Antonio Spur, and now we're having that same conversation with Kawhi Leonard. And I know, again, you have to turn the chapter at some point in time on these franchises. That's the way professional sports works. Is R.C. Buford treading down that same water? Because it sure seems like it on the outside.
I don't know that that's the case, and, you know, not that I, you know, disagree, because I see the correlation, but, you know, the circumstances were different. If I'm being frank, Kobe Bryant's presence and Kobe Bryant, you know, simply not mixing with Dwight Howard. Now, people can, you know, choose what side of that conversation they want to be on, or if they say, like, oh, you know, both sides probably, you know, participate in that exodus. But the reality is, he left, and, you know, quite frankly, the Lakers' inability to kind of move off of an all-time great and you know, guy that had done a ton for their franchise ultimately probably hurt them in terms of, you know, bringing in, you know, top talent or holding on to top talent. And that's not a knock against Kobe, because everybody knows that I had the privilege to watch his entire career, so I have nothing at all against him, but I'm just being matter of fact about it. Now with the Spurs, it may simply be time for them to press reset. Look, a run like this, of course you never know whether it's going to last 5 years or 10 years or a decade or whatever the case may be. They've had quite a run. So if in the worst case scenario, I honestly think it's just a matter of pressing reset. I don't think they're going to, fall into the depths, like, say, the Lakers did for a few years. But then again, I guess you never know, because if ultimately they lose Kawhi, like, say the reports out there that they just absolutely will not deal him to the Lakers are true, and they end up taking a substandard or subpar deal as a result. You know what? Those are the types of mistakes that can have you really reeling, for another half a decade.
Sure.
So But part of me, I respect, you know, the guys that they have in the room there enough, you know, between Popovich, between R.C. Buford, between, you know, the rest of that, you know, that crew there, to imagine that they're going to do what's in the best interest of this franchise. And it, you know, and not necessarily, and that might not necessarily, you know, go along with, you know, the popular narrative that's out there right now.
Jabari Davis of SilverScreenAndRoll.com. Jabari, a pleasure to get you back on the show. Please let the listeners know where they can find your work.
Man, I definitely appreciate it. Again, it's always great to talk to you. Always great to, you know, talk hoops with you. For me, I'm simple. Jabari, on Twitter, at Jabari Davis NBA. And of course, I always shout out the guys at Silver Screen and Roll, because even though I don't provide, you know, regular content for them, they are kind enough to, you know, lend their platform to me when I do have time to, you know, put something to paper, so to speak.
Jabari, thank you so much. We'll have to do it again real soon.
All right, let me know. Thanks.
We got a break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
In 5, 4, 3, 2.
I'm Joe Wade Formicola, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Zero name, no gimmicks.
On 750 AM, KOAL.
So I came to the grave.
Final segment of the week here on Drive Time Sports. Travis, I'm going to ask you a question that may sound completely bizarre. The Jazz gave us a lot of exciting stuff to talk about throughout the year. They did. They were fun. Second half of the year for sure. The NBA playoffs went about the way we all could have expected. Has the offseason been more entertaining than the playoffs already?
Yes.
Absolutely. You really think so?
Yep. I'm engaged more in the offseason than I was in the playoffs, because we already knew the outcome was going to be Cleveland versus Golden State. The NBA Finals was pretty much what we expected. The Warriors handling Cleveland, outside of Game 1, it wasn't really very competitive. So yeah, the offseason's been more intriguing, more interesting, in my opinion.
That's sad. I don't know that I can argue with that. I love the regular season. I thought the regular season was fantastic. In the playoffs, we had some interesting series. The Utah OKC series was a lot of fun. I love the Houston and Golden State series was a lot more entertaining than I expected it to be. Boston was great. Their series with Philadelphia, I loved. As far as the NBA championship goes, I'm with you. Unless you were a Golden State Warrior fan, yeah, you probably got bored with it. That's not good.
That's not good.
So let me ask you this. We've been talking about Kawhi Leonard for the majority of the show. And again, his top choice appears to be Los Angeles. The Lakers will look to get LeBron James. You know they're going to look at Paul George. Could a team of Kawhi, Paul George, and LeBron beat the Golden State Warriors?
Yes, because if you look at what the Lakers did when they acquired Pau Gasol, at the time, he was a top 30 player, and look at the pieces they had around him.
Yeah, but they had the greatest player of the generation.
But you're going to get LeBron, who has been the best player since Kobe's retired, and you pair him with...
Probably since 2011, he's been the best player.
And you pair him with a Kawhi Leonard, who's the best two-way player in the league, who's a top 5 player, and a Paul George. I mean...
I think the pieces matter that you put around them.
And then you can recruit players on 1-2-year short deals, shooters, and what you need to fill out your roster. But you have to, you get those three, and then you build around those three. So, yeah, I think they can compete, and they'd beat Golden State.
I think it'd be tough for Golden State, because here's the thing.
Because Kawhi matches with Kevin Durant.
He does match with Kevin Durant. And the other thing you have to consider, LeBron James, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, they may not have to, in whatever particular game plan you want to throw out there, they would not have to guard the best player on the opposing team. Right now, LeBron, he typically is guarding the best player on the opposing team. Kawhi, he guards the best player on the opposing team. Not necessarily the case with Paul George at times. That happens, and I know we're getting way ahead of ourselves. It's more of an abstract conversation, because as it sits right now, I don't see anybody beating Golden State next year. Somebody's going to have to create a super team, be it Houston, L.A., Philadelphia, maybe Boston has a chance. But as it sits right now, I don't think anyone beats Golden State again next year. So free agency is going to be a telling case. But I'm with you. I believe a team, and it doesn't even have to be L.A. I don't care who it is. If those three teamed up with one another,
Kawhi goes to Boston.
Well, he'd be teaming
and then
up with...
Anthony Davis is in the mix, maybe. Who knows?
But I'm talking about these three.
Yeah, those three team up, but... they're better than Golden State.
It's a more potent big three than what we had in Miami with LeBron, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh. It is. At this stage, comparing at this stage in their careers of Paul George and a Kawhi to the stage of their careers with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, yeah, I think it's a better team defensively. They're very, very good. And one of the other things you have to point out with the Lakers, they own the bird rights to Brook Lopez and Julius Randle.
And you can order the cap to bring those guys back.
So depending on how big of a check Jeannie Buss wants to sign, this could be a really historical offseason for L.A. And like I said, don't get too far ahead of yourselves. They can sign LeBron and Paul George outright. They'd have to make a move for Kawhi Leonard. You'd have to entice San Antonio. And if I'm the Spurs, and Jabari brought this up last segment, if I'm San Antonio, I'm not hesitant about making a deal with L.A. because it is now time to turn the chapter. And I think that's even a bigger story here than the possibility of Kawhi and LeBron and Paul George teaming up in L.A. The bigger story is that era, it's finished in San Antonio. It's done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to take what's available. You can't just pick a spot in the Eastern Conference because you don't want Kawhi in the West with the Lakers. So the Lakers can start with Brandon Ingram. They have draft picks, and you move on from that point and see what you can work with.
Well, I can take this one step further. We talked about R.C. Buford last segment. He's never been in this situation.
No, so he's got some work to do because Kawhi doesn't want to be there, and you don't want a disgruntled player going into the season on your roster.
And I don't think it's doom and gloom for San Antonio, because if you are going to move on from Kawhi, and look, you're a playoff team with Kawhi, obviously. You're a playoff team without him. You got to the postseason without Kawhi. Okay, you get to the playoffs easily with Kawhi. But at the same time, you will accumulate some assets in trading this guy, especially with him having 2 years on his contract. That's what's so important here. You're going to get some assets. So if I'm San Antonio, I don't rush, but I try to get a deal done before Thursday's draft. I try to get a deal done.
Yeah, and like you said, 2 years left, and whatever team acquires him, you can work around that contract because you got 2 years where it's locked in. So things are interesting in San Antonio and the NBA.
That's going to do it for us this week on Drive Time Sports. We will be back tomorrow with the best of. And we're going to replay a couple of interviews from earlier in the week, including boxing. Boxing is so great right now. It's the best the sport has been, I think, in quite some time. So we'll talk that as well on the best of Drive Time Sports tomorrow. Do not forget to check out CastleCountryRadio.com for up-to-date local sports news. He is Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. You have a terrific weekend. Be safe. We are out.